Okay. Last week we began, we went through this Gemara, just going to race through some of the highlights again very quickly. The Gemara here on Gimel Am Aleph till Dalid Amud Aleph, and we began discussing some of these topics. Again, the Gemara explained, the Gemara on the bottom, Man Haitana de Boi Ksiva Lishma, Boi Hasima Lishma. Last line on Gimel Amud Aleph. I should have started the right line before. Sorry. According to Rabba, who says that the reason for the takana is in order to ensure that there is lishma in the writing of the get. So how could it be that there's a requirement of both b'fanei nechtav and b'fanei nechtav? After all, that implies ksiva and chasima lishma. Who would require this double obligation? And then the Gemara goes on to explain, E Rabbi Meir. The Gemara tries to link it to the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir is the man damar who holds that Ede chasima karsi, which means that every shtar has to be signed by witnesses, and when it is signed by witnesses, that's all you need. You don't need Eide Mesira, all you need is the witnesses signed in the shtar. Once you have that, then there's no obstacle, the contract can take place. So according to Rabbi Meir, that Eide Chasima Karsi, so when the Torah says B'Kosav Lo Sefer Krisus, it means not B'Kosav, but B'Chosam. That's how the Gemara understands it, and that's the reason why, according to Rabbi Meir, there's a requirement of chasima. The signatures have to be written lishma. But in our Torah, at least, the ksav, the text of the get itself, the content of the get, which spells out the details, none of that has to be written lishma. So that's what the Gemara says. You have Meir chasima boy ksiva lo boy. It's none. Ein kosam mechuba lekarka. Again, I'm going to read quickly now because we read it more slowly last week. Ein kosam mechuba lekarka. You're not allowed to write a get if the get is on a surface that is connected to the ground. Kosvala mechuba lekarka. If you did write it on mechuba lekarka, then tolsho chosmo v'nasa la kosher. As long as we're on Gimel Amud Beis. I maybe said it too quickly. Four lines now into the daf. Gimel Amud Beis. So the point is, if you write on a connected surface and then you disconnect or detach that surface from the ground, tolsho, and then chosmo, after that you have the witnesses sign, and then nosno, la, and then you give the get to the isha. In other words, the chasima was the talush, even though the ksiva was the mechubar. If that's the case, so then kosher, according to Rabbi Meir. Now why should it be kosher? If Rabbi Meir believes that the only thing that's important in the get is the chasima, and the chasima is the talush, that's fine. But if you also require ksiva of a certain prominence and stature, so shouldn't ksiva the mechubar also be possible? That's the Gemara's argument. Therefore, it must be that Rabbi Meir only requires a significant chasima. That is true with regard to Mechubar, and it's true as well with regard to Lishma. He, Rabbi Eliezer, if the Man D'Amar is Rabbi Eliezer, then what's Rabbi Eliezer hold? Ede Mesira Karsi, which means you don't need witnesses in a get or in a shtar. All you need is that the handing over of the document, which specifies the conditions of the transaction, be witnessed by two Edim. They be present for the transfer, which triggers the actual transaction. That's what you need. That's called Ede Mesira Karsi. So the Gemara says, if that's true, Ksiva Boy, Chasima Lo Boy. You don't need Chasima, so how can there be a din of Chasima Lishma? If you don't need signatures at all, then how can there be a requirement that they be L'Shem Ha'ish, L'Shem Ha'isha? You can get away without them. They're gratuitous. So if they're gratuitous, they can't have standards either. That's the assumption of the question. So the Gemara says, lest you say, fine, on a Daraisa level, midin Torah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no requirement of any chasima, and therefore there can be no concept of chasima lishma. But maybe midrabanan, Rabbi Eliezer agrees that you should sign the witnesses into the document, and since midrabanan they should be signed then you should also require the level of lishma, that it should be l'shem v'ishra, isha v'haget. That could be a din d'rabbanan, but nonetheless, it would require, it would be a requirement, and it would explain why we say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. In my presence, it was written, and it was signed, because it's a requirement of ksiba lishma and chasima lishma. So the Gemara says, that can't be either. That's a good idea, but the evidence does not support it. That something can be logically conceivable, but then you have to go and search whether or not the evidence supports it or not. And the evidence here disproves it, because we have another Mishnah. V'shlosha gittin psulim dirabanan. The Mishnah, later on, in the end of the Masechta, da pei vav, speaks about three gittin that are psulim midrabanan, that work minat Torah but are disqualified midrabanan. And even though that whole Mishnah is talking about a psul drabanan, drabanan requirements and drabanan disqualifications, nonetheless, lo boi Rabbi Eliezer chasim alishma. In that very context, it's clear that Rabbi Eliezer thinks that Ede Mesira Karsi, even the Chatchila, even on a drabanan level. So if that's true, that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require chasima, even midrabanan, again, we're back to the point that if there's no chasima midrabanan, then there's no chasima lishma midrabanan, and we're still left wondering who is the author of b'fanei nechtav, of ksiba and chasima lishma. How do we know from the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require chasima? Because the Mishnah says as follows, d'tnan, gimel gittin psulim, three gittin are disqualified, v'nis savlad kasher. But if you go ahead and use these gittin, which you shouldn't to begin with, because they're disqualified, but this disqualification does not render them invalid. If you go ahead and you use them, then the gerushin will be chal, and if the woman remarries based on this get, then the vlad will be kosher. What are these three categories? Kasa biksav yado ve'ein olav edim. You write, the fellow writes in his own autograph. He's being Megarish as Ishto. Instead of hiring a sofer, he writes out the text in his own handwriting. So the rule is, Ein Olav Edim, there are no witnesses in that document, but there is the handwriting of the Bailim. The rule is that is Pasul Midrabanan, but Kosher Minatorah. Second case, Yesh Olav Edim, the Ein Bozman. There's no date written in the get, but there are witnesses in the get. Minat Torah, a get does not require dates. Midrabanan, it does. And therefore, it's possible midrabanan, but for the Eved, the get is kosher. What's the third case? Yesh bozman, ve'ein bo ela, eid echad. Let's say you have a date, and you have a single witness, but you don't have two witnesses. Hare elu shlosha gittin psulim, v'imnisa sablad kosher. In all these cases, the get is disqualified midrabanan, but minat Torah, since it works, for the Eved, the vlad, born from a union that is based on this get, will be kosher. And then the Mishnah finally concludes and says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Alpha Bisha Ein Olav Edim, Elisha Nasra Lo Bifnei Edim, Kosher V'Gova Menachasim Mishabadim, She'eino Edim Chosim Malaget, Elim Bifnei Tikuna Olam. Rabbi Eliezer says, even if there are no witnesses inside the get, but it is delivered in the presence of two witnesses, the get is going to be kosher. It can also be used as a basis to collect the ksuva, even from leaned property. The reason being, she'ena edim chos malaget, elu ifnei tikuna olam, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, the only reason that we require witnesses to sign in a get is because of tikkun olam, meaning it's an etza tova. It's a good thing to do. It's a constructive suggestion. What do you mean a constructive suggestion? In what way is it constructive? So the Gemara explains later on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's a good idea. It's constructive for the witnesses to sign in the contract. Why? You don't need them legally for the contract to be valid. But what if there's ever a question about this contract? So somebody says, prove it to me, or, you know, bring the contract to court. There's some dispute about it. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, if the witnesses do not have to be signed on the document, you would always have to have access to the witnesses themselves. You'd have to find them wherever they are, right? They could be traveling, they could be deceased, and then you're in trouble. If you can't bring them to court, then there's a question raised about the veracity, the validity of this particular contract, you're stuck. However, if you have the witnesses sign, even though we don't need them from a kinyan, from a transaction point of view, but if you sign, if they sign, then the contract is going to be self-sustaining. Right? You don't need any other proof. The signed witnesses accomplish the goal. So what do we see from the Mishnah?
Is it kosher?
No, that's the point. What we see from the Mishnah is that what the Mishnah is trying to say is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, two witnesses who are present without signing in the get is kosher. Even mechatchila, even midrabanan. And the Mishnah explains, because it's only a tikkun olam, it's only a constructive suggestion that they should sign. It's good advice, but it's not even a psul drabanan. It's not even a rabbinic disqualification. And if that's the case, so we now know that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't require even drabanan chasimas haget. So then the question is, who is the author of b'panei nechta, b'panei nechtam? So the Gemara says, El Rav Meir here. Let's go back to Rav Meir. Let's try Rav Meir again. Okay? What do we prove in Rabbi Meir based on Mechubar? That Rabbi Meir doesn't require... It does ksiva because the ksiva is prominence, because even ksiva, the mechubar, is kosher, as long as the chasima is betalosh. Correct? So the Gemara says, Vechilo boy Rabbi Meir, ksiva lishma, midaraisa, bimidrabana boy. Maybe that's only true, namely the distinction in mechubar between ksiva and chasima, that's only true on a daraisa level. But maybe midrabanan, Rabbi Meir, requires ksiva and chasima both to be right done with stature, meaning there would be a psul mechubar and a psul lishma. So the Gemara says that can't be either, because Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Meir, Afilu Mitzal Ba'ashba, Rav Meir says if you find on the trash bin or heap, you find a get, a perfectly written get with all the right names and the people you're looking for, right? And so far throughout 30 gittin. Okay, and one of them happens to be exactly the names that you need. And you find it, discard it. So the rule is, if you find it that way, vechasmo, and then he has witnesses signing lishma on that generic document that he finds, right, pasher, that's good. So what do we see from here? That even with Rabbanon, Rabbi Meir doesn't require tziva. The chitema anan midaraisa kamas ninamla. Maybe that's only also a din daraisa, but midrabanan we require more. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi omer hayirab Meir dvar Torah miboyle." The language should not have been omer hayirab Meir. Rabbi Meir used to say that sounds very prescriptive. It sounds like Rabbi Meir, thinks that this is fine and good, not only on a daraisa level but on a policy level as well. He should have said, Dvar Torah, Minat Torah, this is what you can get away with. Then there would have been an opening to say, but Lamaisa, in terms of practice, because of the Rabbanan, no. So we're still left again without an author. So the Gemara gets two final answers. Li Olam Rav Lazar, he, Vechilo boy Rav Lazar chasima heche de leke edim klal. Heche de ike edim boy. This is the first very big Kiddush. Till now, what do we prove for Rav Eliezer? Just so you don't need chasima. Not Minat Torah, and not Midrabanan. Except for Mishum Tikkun Olam, a constructive suggestion, which is hardly ma'akit. But that doesn't mean that when you choose to sign witnesses in the text, that you're not held to the high standard of lishma that applies to chasima, that applies to the ksiva, rather, as well. In other words, just because you don't need it, just because it's gratuitous, doesn't mean that when you have it, right, it isn't going to be held to the requirement of lishma. So, Rababa Moda, Rabbi Eliezer, the Nezuyach Mitocho Shu Pasol. If something is Nezuyach Mitocho, meaning there are internal flaws in the level or standard of the get, even in areas which otherwise would have been superfluous, nonetheless, it is going to disqualify. Now, that's a very important halacha. We're not going to speak about that more today, but we will get back to this. We're going to break this down into like three topics. That'll be one of our topics. And then finally, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, how many Rabbi Yehuda he? Detan Rabbi Yehuda posel, ad shetek sivasa v'chasimasa v'talush. There is a third man, the Amar bat mechubar. That's Rabbi Yehuda. He says you need talush, the surface on which the get is written, be disconnected from the karka, both at the Zman HaKsiva as well as the Zman HaChasima, during the writing and during the signing. And therefore, he also must believe that Lishma is required both for Ksiva and for Chasima. So then the Gemara says, Mikarim Aitama Lomakmina L'Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, well, what would we spend so much effort? Why not go right to Rabbi Yehuda, who's the obvious author of the Fanei Nechta, Fanei Nechtam? So the Gemara says, no. Ma'adrinin Arabeir, Stam Matisin Rabmeir, Ma'adrinin Arbelozer, Dekaima Nuchas Kavatsai Begit. The reason is because we don't pass the Rabbi Yehuda. This first Mishnah Gittin, the Befanei Nechtam, appears not to be the idiosyncratic view of a single Tana who we reject. And it makes more sense to think that either it's Rabbi Meir, because Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, and this is Stam Mishnah, or it's Rabbi Eliezer, because in Gittin we paskin Ede Mesira Karsi. So at least that's why we were considering the other possibility. That's the Gemara. We began last week to discuss the following question. The debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. One can look at it in two ways. One way is to look at it in more technical terms. They debate how to interpret the word in the Torah, the kasav law, sefer krisus. The word v'kasav means ksiva literally, or the word v'kasav means v'chasav. And based on that linguistic argument, one might say, it's a legal argument, it's hard to know whether the linguistics come first or the legal comes first. But either way, based on that argument, there are several nafka mina, flishma, mechubar, right? As well as Ede Chasima Karsi or Ede Mesira Karsi. But if that were the extent of the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, as I put it last week, we would be comfortable saying Mid Rabbi Elazar Nishma L'Rabbi Meir and Mid Rabbi Meir Nishma L'Rabbi Elazar, which basically means, all things being equal, they share a vision of what a shtar is and what the nature of a shtar contract is. The only thing is they argue about the prominence of one or two features. And therefore, however Rabbi Meir is going to accentuate the requirement of Chasima, Rabbi Eliezer will probably put similar or parallel emphasis on the Ksiva or the Mesira, and vice versa. Because it's not a visionary argument, what is a shtar, how does it work? It's a technical argument, which ingredient is more prominent in the process. Or, shall we say that the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir is a fundamental argument about how shtaros works? And basically, what we would conclude would be that we're dealing with two different perspectives, two different visions of shtaros. Rabbi Meir's vision is the vision of Raya. What makes a kinyan shtar is the fact that you put proof in the other fellow's hands. By giving him that power, that he is able to demonstrate what took place, right? That itself is the component that concludes the kinyan, or that effectuates the kinyan. Making him, right, have the power of proof, giving him, in other words, control over this transaction, over establishing that there was a transaction, is the transaction itself. And what suggests this in Rabbi Meir is the fact that for Rabbi Meir everything is about the chasima, meaning it's about handing over to the other party a self efficient document. If I hand over a document without any chasima, I'm handing over a piece of paper. There's nothing self sufficient about it. But if I hand over a raya biksav, which can be used in court to demonstrate what took place, right, then handing over the raya gives him a certain sense of control over the situation. That is his act of violence. Moreover, it's not just that the hatfasas raya is accomplished by handing over shtar v'edi chasima. It's also what's missing on the other side of the coin. No one necessarily witnesses the actual handing over of the shtar, as we've explained. Kosvin shtar lelove, apapi shein malva imo. Kosvin shtar li, right? In each case, the mischayev, kosvin shtar le, you can write the get, apapi shein ishto imo. The mischayev, in all cases, creates the shtar, the Edom sign, and in theory, we'll get back to this, in theory it's conceivable that the actual contract is handed over privately. So the actual moment where the kinyan begins is unwitnessed. In other words, from a pure kinyan point of view, there seems to be some deficiency in this process. So you have a heavy emphasis on the self-sufficiency of the raya, you have a deficiency in the kinyan, and therefore it's easy to conclude that it is the handing over of the raya, the reality of making you de facto in control, that is the davar hakol. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer, exactly the opposite. It's hard to speak of raya because it's a piece of paper. But what you do have is witnesses, Eidei Nesira, who are present when the piece of paper is handed over. They witness what?
The
formal kinyan, the transaction itself. Again, what they're lacking in raya, they're almost like Eidei Kiyum, right? Their presence is required and determinative in the act of kinyan.
Is there a presumption that they know what's in the shot?
Well, at least enough, that's a good question, it's not so clear. We'll get to it in a minute. At least enough to be able to identify it, probably. Probably. I mentioned last week one example where this issue may be played out, and I just didn't have time to pursue it inside, but it's worth looking at least quickly. And that is Perek Beis in the Rush, Simen Yud Beis in the Hagos HaShri. It's really, the original text is in the Or Zerua, but this is a shortcut. Those of you who have the Rush in the back, it would be on page 191. Okay, 191 in the back. Okay, it isn't actually the Rush, it's the Hagos HaShri. Those, you know, even smaller little words. First column, page Tzadivav, you see? So you'll see Simen Yud Beis, Perek Beis, Simen Yud Beis, Shein Yodim Likros, the Rush. Now, if you look on the left of the Rush, on the first column, you have the Hagos HaShri. So go to the bottom one, the largest one. Everybody have that? Heshiv Rabbeinu Simcha, for those who have Shas Gemaras. So I'm going to read it very quickly. Heshiv Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha gave the following response. Get shalo chosmo ha'edim b'ksav yadon, ela ha'sofer chosmo, kosher. Ha'afilu Rabbi Meir, damar edich ha'sim ha'karsi, lo ha'vim mezuyif mitocha. What's the case? What's the issue? What happens if you have, according to Rabbi Meir, you have Eidei Chasim HaKarsi? Two witnesses have to sign or be signed into the shtar. Let's say they have terrible handwriting. So instead, they ask the sofer, right, to sign on their behalf, to be a shliach on the Chasimas HaEidim. Can that be done or not? So this is what I was referring to a little bit last week. So listen to the language of the Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha says, yes, that's not considered forgery. You might think, well, it's a forgery, it's not their signatures. Reuven and Shimon sign in the Shtar, but it's not their signatures. It's the signature of Levi, who's a good calligrapher. Right? Isn't that Mezuyif Mitocho? Right? Isn't that forgery? So the Rabbeinu Simcha says, no. Why? Demidi Rabbi Eliezer, Nishma L'Rabbi Meir. That's why I like this. Well, it's a very radical case, but I also, this is the point I'm trying to make, because I like this language. What does that mean? Ki heichi de l'Rabbi Eliezer mishtoi kra de'iu boi l'michtav. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when the Torah says, the kasav lo sefer krisos, who's it talking to?
The Baal.
And when it tells the Baal, and he writes, says about the Baal, and he writes a get. Does the Baal have to write the get? No. He can appoint the sofer. Sofer can be his shliach in the writing of the get. So if, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Torah's v'kasav of Rabbi Eliezer can be translated into shlichus, so what does the word v'kasav mean for Rabbi Meir? V'kasav. Rabbi Meir, right? Ede chasim akarsi. What does v'kasav mean? V'kasav. So just like Rabbi Eliezer says v'kasav / v'kasav can be b'shlichus, why not say that for Rabbi Meir, the kasav equals the kasam can be b'shlichos. Even though the Torah says the kasam, according to Abelazar, shliach is good, liksima, the over the sofer ksov, get liishti, and he can tell the sofer right out the get on my behalf. So Rabbi Meir Nami, the Amar v'kasav, Eide Chasima koi. According to him, the word v'kasav refers to the Eide Chasima. The gufa shoget afilu mitzov ba'ashba v'chule. It doesn't matter because the writing is irrelevant. It's only the signing that's important. So too, in Yomru, the sofer, if the Eidim were to say to the sofer, chasom shimenu the chismu, right? Use your best handwriting on our names, right? Kosher. Kivin the kosmi milfanav. It's not Mizuyev because he's doing it at their behest. And they're present, and they're the ones who commanded him. Babal nosan leisho lefaneinu kosher. Kivan, why? The lav l'raya koi. This is a very, very important line. After all, we're talking about a shtar kinyan here. We're talking about a kinyan get. Right? So this kinyan get isn't intended as a raya, as a proof that it happened. It's intended to effectuate, to accomplish the goal. She'im tavirenu be'esh la'acha shekiblaso la'alter migureshes. Let's say you give a woman a get, and 10 seconds later, right, it burns up. Or she throws it into the fire, or whatever. Or it gets hit by lightning. Will anybody say the get's not chal because she no longer has a proof? There might be a problem if somebody wants a proof. But from a Kenyan point of view, from a Garrison point of view, do we care that it's no longer extant? Not at all. Because Garrison is a Kenyan. The fact that the Raya is gone, it's irrelevant. What's the Rabbeinu Simcha trying to explain? Rabbeinu Simcha understands that where's the proof in a get which is signed by a sofer on behalf of the Eide Chasima? Right? Without the John Hancock of the Eide Chasima, there's no proof. So what he's saying is, I know that, but who cares? What do you mean who cares? Because essentially a get is a shtar Kenyan, not a shtar Raya. And just like we don't care for Rabbi Eliezer, there are no witnesses at all. So for a mayor, there happen to be witnesses because that's where they, for Eide Mesira Karsi, Datum are standing there, and for Eide Chasima Karsi, they're written inside the shtar. So, you know, where are the witnesses? Right? Are they standing at the moment of the Mesira? Are they ink and form on a piece of paper? That's the difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. But in terms of the shtar being Kenyan or Raya, there being Raya based on the Chasima or the Edim, etc., Mid Rabbi Eliezer, Nishma Rabbi Meir. He just says it in a very radical case, which is what makes it so clear. But maybe getting Dinas Hayam, Kishen Sheyachal Omer Laksav HaSofer Shalokosu Abal B'Fanei Nachtav, Kach Yachal Omer B'Fanei Nachtav HaChasimah HaSofer, Bod Herich, etc. Now go to the bottom four lines before the end, the last word of the fourth line from the bottom. The Ein Nir V'Ein Ay Klal. Right? Yor Zeruah himself says, I think this psak is completely erroneous. Elakol get she'edav enam chasumim b'ksav yadam. Any get where the actual signature of the Eide Chasima is not there, or is apostle gomor kinemuchach ba'orech, as I explain at length. Right, in ba masali amasal yadai on the poslo miyad. Normally say, you know, having the sunim badin, you know, think about it. No thinking about it. This is obvious, you know, kibiyata, you know, bekutcha maybe, that this is completely wrong. It can't be. Well, what's the problem? There could be two problems. And there probably are both problems. Okay. One is what we explained last week. We explained both last week. One is that a signature may just be a very highly personalized thing. As we explained a couple of years ago, those who were here, right? Shlucho shel adam is kemosa. In many things, being an agent, shlichus, an emissary, it works. But it never works when you require the personal touch. Right? That's what the famous line of the Tosis Rid in the second parak of Kiddushin, that the Ksos you know, picked up on the idea of davar shebegufo, anything that is highly personal, which requires the personal touch in some, for whatever reason, is not nitam l'shlichos. So one could have said, you know what, you're right about Midrav Lazar, Nishma, Rabbi Meir, in the sense that the vision that Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir share about shtaros is a similar one. However, it doesn't make a difference. Since Lemaisa, we're talking about Ksiva in one case and Chasima in the other case, you just can't say Midrav Lazar Nishma Drabanan, even if they share a vision, because a Chasima is a Davar Shebegufo always. You just can't talk about an impersonal signature. The concept of a signature is personal. That's point number one. One could have said. Or maybe that's wrong. Maybe we just, you know, in our society, as I say, we identify signatures as a form of identification. And then for us, muskal rishon, it's almost reflex. We say, you know, there's no such thing as shlichus b'chasima. But maybe different cultures, you know, can differ on that. As long as this is the representation, the credible representation of the witnesses. So maybe it doesn't have to be highly, this signature doesn't have to be highly personal. However, there may be another point here. And that is it true that Midrav Lazar Nishma Rabbi Meir? That could be challenged. In other words, what did we say before? It's conceivable that the difference between Eide Chasim and Eide Mesira isn't just how to read Vakasa, or where and what the Eidim are supposed to do, but how you read Vakasav and what and where the Edom are supposed to go reflects two totally different perspectives on Kinyan Shtar. For Rabbi Meir, it's Hatfasas Raya, Biyad, HaMischayev, that is the Davar HaKonen. And what you're lacking in the moment of the Kinyan, right, you're compensating for by virtue of establishing the power of Raya in this person's hand. Whereas for Rabbi Eliezer, there is no Raya, but you have Eide Kiyum on the moment of and the Davar HaKone, namely the handing over of the conditions of the contract. So would you say Midrav Lazar Nishma Rabbi Meir? For Rabbi Eliezer, this is something that's neat, the Ksiva part is Nitan L'Shlichos, because there is no Din of Raya. And for Rabbi Meir, there's no Shlichos, even if a Chasima wasn't a Davar Shebegufo per se, but you are talking about Hatzfasas Raya here. There's certainly no Raya when the Eidim HaChosmim don't have their own signature. And that's why that line, when Rabbi Ben Simcha said, Kim Delav L'Raya Koi, Shim Tavi Red of the A, Shlachar Shekib Lasav Alta Megureshes. He knew what was going on. He knew exactly what the objection could be. He was just arguing against it. What he was saying is, a get is never focused on its raya, because otherwise, why wouldn't we care? Leman yamdu, to talk about the psukim menach, you know, yamim rabim. Why wouldn't we insist? But there's a huge difference between these two cases. In other words, it's one thing to say that the kinyan is created by raya, and at the moment after that kinyan, there's no longer a further obligation that there be raya. In other words, if a bolt of lightning, you know, hits the get seconds after the gerushin is given, that's not going to affect the kinyan. But at the moment of the kinyan, if the kinyan is accomplished by raya, there has to be the means for raya. So if you have Edim, you know, whose signatures are there by means of a shliach, right, there's no chetzah shel raya to make the kinyan. The problem isn't a second after the kinyan that there's no raya. The problem is there's no raya to make the kinyan. Those are two different points. Yeah.
You're saying that if I appoint someone to sign for me,
right,
if I appoint someone to be there when he gives her the get, it is good?
Say that again.
If I appoint someone to be my shaliach.
Are we talking about Tori Trabi Mayor?
No, or Rav Lazar. If I appoint someone to be my shaliach at the time of was zero, and he sees the husband hand the get over to the wife,
he
should be okay?
No. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't have anybody signing on the get.
I didn't say sign on the get. Eidim Mesira, while he's handing over the get. I appoint someone to be my shliach while he's handing, the husband hands the get to the wife.
Well, then they're not, it's not shlichus, it's...
My shliach.
How's he your shliach?
Because the husband appointed me to be the Eidim Mesira. I can't be there, so I appoint...
Right, then he didn't do anything. And as the Eide Chasima, you can at least say... are in the sense that they are Edim on the Tzivui Habal. In other words, all Eidei Chasima are, it's a good, I'm glad you asked the question. First of all, I'm glad that you asked the question, but but in addition to that, it's a good way of, the question highlights some of the important differences here. When you're an Eidei Chasima, fundamentally, what have you witnessed and what are you an aid of? You're an aid of the Tzivui Habal, right, to write the get, or to prepare the get. But you heard him say, prepare this get.
Okay.
And therefore, there can be some shlichus, maybe. Lu yitzuyar, you can have shlichus on the chasima. There's something to transmit, to tell the shlichin to do on your behalf. Right? In the case of Eidei Mesira, right, what they are, what Eidei Mesira is edus on the handing over the get. If they're not there for the handing over the get, they're not making shlichim for their function. They're just not involved in the function.
They're substituting, that's all.
Do you understand? It's a good question, but it's, I'll explain it to you in two, I'll say it in two ways. Number one, the midrash of Lazar Nishma Rabbi Meir in Agos Ashri is, well, each one has an interpretation of a kasa, and the question is, can the kasa be accomplished through shlichus? In Rabbi Eliezer, it's not the Mesira. It's the Ksiva Saget. For the Chasima of Rabbi Meir, it's the Chasima Saget. That's what the question was. In other words, if the Mandam Eidei Mesira Karsi says that the Kasav means Ksiva Saget, and that can be done through a Shliach, then Chasima Saget, which is Ksiva, the Kasav, according to Rabbi Meir, should also be done through Shlichus. So the question was based on the assumption of an equation, of a parallel, that parallel being the interpretation of the Kasav. Now you're coming along and asking an interesting question, saying, well, forget about the word the Kasav, let's look at the function of the Eidos. And let's say the function of the Eidei Chasima is something that maybe could be done al Yidei Shliach. Why wouldn't you say that the function of Eidei Mesira can also be done al Yidei Shliach? That's your question. So my answer is, because the Eidei Chasima really have accomplished something in their being before the Chasima. Namely, they have witnessed, and they are the witnesses to the desire to create a Chetzer Shoget. That's what they're doing through the Chasima, and they're just passing on the technicality of it to the Shliach, if they could do that. But the Eidei Mesira, the whole point is that they're not being made on the Baal and his wishes and his desire to have a get or his Ketzer Shel Get. The point of the Eidei Mesira is to be the detached, objective observers of the transfer of ownership through the transfer of the document. If they're not there, they haven't seen it, then they haven't seen it. They haven't done anything.
They couldn't testify in court.
What?
They couldn't testify in court to anything.
Right, they haven't done anything. There's nothing for them to give shlichos to. The Eidei Chasima have something to give shlichos to. They are made through the shlichos on the das habal, right? On the tzivui habal, liyitziras haget. The Eidei Mesira, who weren't there for the Mesira, are not handing anything over. They're not, there's no shlichos. Now, what it might be is something else. And that is, if they're given, you know, the tzivui, who says it? Well, I should even say it better. There's no tzivui to be Eidei Mesira either, for the same reason. There's a tzivui that the Eidei Chasima need to hear from the Bailin to sign. That's part of the Lishma, the Ksiva Saget, the Ksima Saget, etc.
Actually,
the Eidei Mesira are detached from, they're separate from anything of the Baal. They're the objective witnesses about the interplay between the two parties. It's a whole different idea. Therefore, there's nothing for shlichus. I'm sorry?
The Yishu could appoint the Eidei Mesira.
Well, I mean, neither of them really appoint the Eidei Mesira. But right. As much as the Baal. Yeah. Right.
Actually, this is a famous ktos. You cannot appoint a shaliach to be instead of you.
Right, correct. That's something else. Right. Yes. That's what I was referring to before.
Yeah, but Eidei
Mesira... Dover Shabakufo. Right.
No. It doesn't matter. Sorry, later on. He says it's the yod to be instead of.
So someone saying it's true.
They're only standing there. That's all.
Right. You can give shlichos. You can have somebody do carry out a jurisdiction or an action on your behalf. But you can't have somebody. That's the closest expansion of the idea of Dovah Shem B'Guf. Okay. So that's one example. The other example we gave last week was Mucha Mitoka, which we'll get back to. What I want to do now is move on to the second topic.
Can I just answer a short question?
Sure.
Why the questions are pointing out?
Yeah.
Why can't you say it's a whole Lotzi Dutch name?
What do you mean, Lotzi Dutch name?
Remei and Reb Lazer. One of them requires the Pani Nechta, the other one requires the Pani Nechta. So we want to be multi, both opinions.
You might have theoretically been able to say such a thing, except that there's plenty of evidence in the Gemara's going on, and a couple of Mishnayos as well. Panechta can be Ma'akev, you know, and it creates even Baneha Mamzerim and Midrabanan. So it doesn't make sense. And for some of the cases, if you look at the beginning of the next parak, for example, so you have all sorts of interesting little cases. I maybe get Medina Sayyam, right at the beginning of the page, it's Tez Vavam Adalas. I maybe get Medina Sayyam, the Amr B'fanei Nechtam, Avalo B'fanei Nechtam. Right? But so you do one and not the other. B'fanei Nechtam, Avalo B'fanei Nechtam. So what would you do, one without the other? B'fanei Nechtam Kula, B'fanei Nechtam Chetzio. B'fanei Nechtam, don't worry, we're not going to do these right now, but B'fanei Nechtam Chetzio, B'fanei Nechtam Kulo, Puzzle. Echadom b'fanei Nechtam, Echadom b'fanei Nechtam, Puzzle. Shnayim om b'faneinu Nechtam, Echadom b'fanei Nechtam, Puzzle. Rav Yudah Machshir. Echadom b'fanei Nechtam, Shnayim om b'faneinu Nechtam, Kasher. Meaning, you have cases where you have one without the other, and it's still considered to be puzzle. That wouldn't be true if it was just a chashash, let's say today, shneihem. So one could have thought of it, but it doesn't fit with the evidence. Okay, now let's discuss now. Let's break down the topic, discuss some of the other issues that come up here. So in this mission of Gimel Gittin Psulin, we have one of the Gimel Gittin Psulin is Kasa Biksav Yado, the Ein Alaveda. Meaning you have an autograph, the person's own handwriting, he writes out the get, but there are no agents, there are no witnesses. But the Baal, with his own handwriting, you know, again, he takes literally the kasa, without the shlichus, right? And he writes out the conditions of the get. So the Mishnah seems to say, in Pei Bav Aleph, and it's repeated here as well, that Minat Torah, kasa v'ksav yado, is an effective get. Now, how do we understand that? And what are its implications? Normally, when we think of a shtar, we don't think of a ksav yad. Right? We think of some sort of edus that is connected to ksav. Whether it's the edus chasima, the classical edus machasumim al ashtar nasa kanisha nechkar edus of the bez in the Reish Lakish, namely edus machasumim b'shtar. That's probably what all of us envision when we say shtar. That's what we think of. Or maybe it's Rabbi Meir, maybe it's Rabbi Eliezer's Edei Nasira, find the presence of the witnesses. But the idea that there could just be a ksav yad, an autograph of the individual himself stating his will, and that would have the status of a shtar, that's not something that we're so familiar with. Listen, even in terms of Gittin, it's puzzle Nidrabanan. So we don't see it very often. But what is the status of Minat Torah? Why does it even work Minat Torah? The truth is the status of Ksav Yado is something that needs to be discussed in at least three contexts. One is here, the question of get, Pasul Midrabanan but Kosher Minat Torah, and even Midrabanan Avlad Kosher, if you go ahead and you are Megarish with a get. That's one context. The second context is Dine Mavidus. Right? After all, shtaros are not limited to Gittin, as we know. That may be the most famous example, but it's not limited to that. What is the status of a ksav yad when it comes to other shtaros? So if you look, for example, in the pages that we gave out last week, the Mishnah in Bava Basra, Kuf Ayin Hei, Amud Beis, page, the end of page 2, the second last entry on page 2, set 4. So there's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hotzi alav ksav yado, shuchayev lo. The person writes out in his own handwriting that he owes money to this other fellow. I owe you, da 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 da, right? Biksav yado. So the Mishnah says, Gove min chasim B'nei Chor. You can collect with that ksav yad from the chosin B'nei Chor. Now what does that mean? What it means is, it's hard to assess it, but what it means is very simple. You cannot collect nechasim mishubadim. With this document, you cannot collect mortgaged or leaned property. In other words, you can only collect b'nei chori. If the fellow who owes you the money has assets, liquid assets, or it could be real estate, but real estate that's still in his possession, right? So he can be forced to to sell that, to liquidate that. And you can collect based on a ksav yad. If you had a real shtar, the edim, then it would also be given to Qasim the Shabbat. Meaning, even if previously, right, after you incurred this debt, but previous to the moment of the collection, you had sold this property or given it away, the property would be mortgaged to the repayment of the loan. That's called the Nechasim Mishubadim. So in the case of a regular shtar, you'd have Gviyam and Nechasim Mishubadim. In the case of Ksav Yad, you have Gviyam and Nechasim Bnei Chorin, but not Nechasim Mishubadim. How are we to understand that compromise? Right. It's hard to say. Oh, so one possibility is this is a proper and good shtar.
Undermine the whole financial system beyond what the crisis is here.
I'm sorry.
You undermine the financial system.
How have I done that?
Because a check is a shtar of ksav
yad. That's true. Okay. It's viewed as more than that in our society, but that's true. Not
a check is a problem from Nechasim Shubadim, of course. You cannot collect.
It's
only mortgage. Means if I sold my property.
Well, a check is really a different idea anyway. A check is something you can collect from a bank account, right?
Which is Nechasim.
Right, but it's not Nechasim Shubadim. It's liquid, it's in the bank. So why have I undermined the
mortgage?
Why have I undermined the... But the truth is, a check is something very, very specific, which draws upon a bank account. But what would a regular IOU? What would be the status of a regular IOU?
Bank account.
I'm sorry.
You could have a mortgage bank account.
But a regular bank account is simply you call upon the. You draw from the funds in the account. You can't go beyond that.
But if it's check bound, saying that you can't collect it against. You can only collect it again.
I'm not saying anything about a check. I'd have to ask you that question.
No, I mean, if you get a judgment on a bounced check, that means you eliminate judgment.
No, probably not. I assume not. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know what the laws are. I don't know whether you can only collect a person's available assets or mortgage property. Any assets. It could be. That would be American law. That's fine. All I'm saying is that a ksav yad, unlike a milva, bishtar, is your govem in the chasim b'nei chorin. But not, no real estate is included, but just real estate that's not mortgaged. Right? Unencumbered real estate would be b'nei chorin as well. But leaned property is exempt from a ksav yad. Now the question is what? So again, one suggestion was made. You said mishum kol. So one way to look at this, and this is the way that some of the Rishonim look at it, is a ksav yad is a shtar. However, since there are no edim, there are no witnesses, so it doesn't produce a kol. Kol means buyer beware is anybody who bought the property subsequently after the loan knows that this is an outside chance. That this is encumbered property, and that somebody will collect it, will confiscate it, will seize it. So that's called a kol. So you might say the Gemara discusses in a bunch of places, at the end of Bava Basra and Kiddushin Afi Gimel and Bava Kama, a bunch of places, that the situation where you don't have a kol, it's maybe drabanan only, that there can be no gevim and chasim shabbat. So that some would say a ksav yad is a shamer. But there's no call. When there are witnesses, people hear about it. It's public knowledge. And then, buyer beware, he should have heard the Shmuah like everybody else that this fellow has debts. But if it's Ksav Yad, it's between the Malva and the Lova, there's no other objective parties who are aware. So in that circumstance, there's no call, there's no Shibud, but it's a Shtar, Lekol Advarim. Or, shall we say, that call aside, the real issue here is this a Milva, the Shtar, is Ksav Yado a Shtar? The fact that it's Govim and Akosim and Ekorin, they simply be because it's an extraneous proof, not a Shtar. In other words, no one's going to deny that. I'm not even denying it. And, you know, if I did, you could bring in handwriting experts to verify that this is indeed my handwriting. And if I've written that, I owe you $100, so I owe you $100. That doesn't have to be a shtar to collect nechasim v'nechorim. So there are two perspectives on this Mishnah, right, this distinction.
It's like
milva. About that. So now that's the question. Now the interesting thing is, if you look at the Gemara, I want to see this in the Rishonim, but if you look already in the Gemara, there's a very fascinating Shakla Vatarya on the bottom, the last entry on page 2. This is the Gemara immediately after that Mishnah in Bava Basra. Gemara has the following question. Hotzi Alav doesn't clarify things further, it just accentuates the issue. Hotzi Alav Ksav Yado Shu Chayev Lo. Right, a person produces a Ksav Yad, right, of the other party, establishing that he's owed $100. Govim nechasim b'nechorim. That's what the Mishnah said, correct? So now the Gemara says, Boy minei rabba bar nasan rab Yochanan huksa ksav yada bebezdin mai. Let's say you verify his handwriting. Does that make a difference? It's very fascinating. Because the Gemara thought that maybe if there's verification of the handwriting that you'll be govim nechasim b'shubadim from lien property, even if all it is a ksav yad, which would be another way to say that a ksav yad is really a shtar as long as you can verify the handwriting. That's a fascinating havamina. So the Gemara says, Amalei, Abba Bisho, looks like ksav yad of Bezdin, ain't a govel, and a chasim, and a charin. No, it doesn't work. Okay, that's the end of that. But the Gemara doesn't leave it at that. The Gemara says, Masiv Rav Yechama, Barir Bar Chama. It's very fascinating. Gemara asks the following, Shlosha Gitin Tzulim. Familiar? Shloshim Gitim Tzulim. That's our Gemara, which is really the Mishnah on Pei Vav Amud Aleph in Gitin. Same Mishnah. Three Gitin are disqualified. Vimisa Sablad Kasha Elain Kasa Bitsavyoto Vein Olavedim Yesh Olavedim Vein Bozman Yesh Bozman Vein Bo Ela Ein Echad. I'm not translating it because we just read it a few minutes ago in our Gemara. Harela Gimel Gitim Tzulim Vimisa Sablad Kasha. What's the end of the Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer Omer. What's Rabbi Eliezer? Remember, Eidei Nasira Karsi, right? Alpha Pishain Olavedim, another witness is signed in. Elishanasala Bifnaid and Adim witness. Kasher, the Govim, the Nechasim, Mishubadim. So what do we see? That a star, the Eidei Nasira, even though the witnesses are not signed in the star, but there's the presence of the Adim at the time of the Mesira Sashtar. That's Govim, Minachasim, Mishubadim. What did the Gemara want? So what? So the Rashbam explains, we'll read it inside in just a second. The Gemara was asking essentially this question. Maybe Kasa B'Ksav Yado plus Huksa K'Sav Yado B'Bezdin, once you verify the signatures and you establish beyond any question that this is a real, authentic, call it IOU, whatever it is, an autograph K'Sav Yad, maybe it should be the equivalent of Shtar B'Eidei Nesira. What a strange Avamina. There were no witnesses. Huksak Ksav Yado B'Bezdin, verification is usually an issue that has to do with proof, authentication of the quality. We're not sure what the quality of this document or instrument is. So now we've established its quality in a maximal way. What does that have to do with Shtar B'Eidei Nesira? It's true the Edom aren't in the star, but there are Edom of the star. Edom of the star are the equivalent of a qualitative Ksav Yad. That's what the Gemara's Havamina was. Now the Gemara gives an answer. Says the Gemara, Shaini Hasam, Dimishas Ksiva, Hudashibe Nafshe. Now, how to read that line is a big controversy. Most of it we're not going to discuss today. Again, maybe next week. But for our purposes at the moment, what is the Gemara saying? You cannot compare Shtar B'Eidei Nesira with Ksav Yad, even a Ksav Yad Shehuksak B'Bezdin. Look at the Rashbam for a moment on the next page. The question of the Gemara, Ma. Mia, this is the first question. Huksak Savyado, Bebezdin, maybe Shibudim as well. Mia, Rina Nareu Beata Kishtar Shiesh Voidim. Maybe Savyad is like a star Shiesh Voidim. Wow. Very ambitious. The Yigva Mimishubad Mimishabdi. I doesn't say anything about Mishubadim in this Savyad. That's okay. The Achrayus Tosoferu. That's a Gemara in a bunch of places. The Gemara says that a star doesn't have to say explicitly that it allows for collection of liens. It's implicit. Achrayus Tosofer. Sofer didn't put it in, but Achrayus, the idea of guaranteeing the repayment by means of Shibudim, mortgages, is implicit. The Kol Shtar Milva Mechira Shekosim Ba'edim Govim Mishabdi. Anytime you have a contract with witnesses, you can collect from liens. Ki'ilu Kasa Ben Achrayus, as if it was written in. That's one side, to compare Ksav Yado B'Huchzak to Eidim Asira. O Dilmar, perhaps, Kiyim Shtar Inamar L'Shum Shtar Elak Zika L'Bezdin. Kiyim Shtaros, verifying signatures, just means that it's not a forgery. But it doesn't change, it's just not a substitute for witnesses. Right? Elahak Sik L'Bezdin the Kamo Shahaya Mikonim L'Chein. All it can do, it can't make it any better than it was. It can just establish that it's as good as it might have been. Right? But she'ilu yabusu eidem alova lo yuchal liton shtar zeh bezuyef hu debezen kimu v'yigbo amalva ganzeh lo yigbo v'ibnei chorim v'lohachya hani bezden shelo yuchal lova lomar ein zeh ksav yadi. The verification is good in that it closes off the avenue of a line about it. You can't say, I never wrote it. Not my signature. It's a forgery. But it doesn't substitute for a lack of Eidim. That's the suffix of the Gemara. Well, it's a maskana. So Gemara is very fascinating. If you look at the Rashbam, next one. Aki Garcina. Shiny awesome. To the Shas Ksiba, who the Shibe Navshe. Kisha Nichtav Hashtar, Nichtav Kinele Masr Bifne Eidim. When you generate this Shtar, right, you know that you're going to link up this contract with the presence of witnesses, right, at the moment of the Mesira. Shehu Eidim Mesira B'Makom Eidim Chasima. This is how the Rashbam says it. Therefore, the Eidim Mesira are the equivalent of Eidim Chasima. That's very fascinating. It's almost like a Midi Rabbi Meir Nishma L'Rabbi Eliezer, instead of a Midi Rabbi Lazar Nishma L'Rabbi Meir, right? Hilka, kivin to the Rabbi Lazar, eidim asira karsi, ki ilu nechtemu b'toch hashtar dami. Meaning, the Havamina was, listen, ksav yad could be govim b'nechasim shibadim, maybe, either no witnesses, eidim asira don't have witnesses inside the shtar either. They're extraneous to the shtar. They witness the transfer of the contract. But they're not, they're eidim shel hashtar, but they're not eidim bishtar or alashtar. Right? That's what the Havamina wants. So Ksav Yad, big deal. We see that there's a precedent for Gviyam and Chasim and Shabadim where the Eidim are not inherent in the Shtar itself. So who are the Ksav Yado? Or no? Maybe we should look at Eidim Asira as a form of Eidim Chasima. It's not that they're Eidim extraneous to, but simply regarding the transfer of the Shtar. They're function, their occupation in witnessing the transfer of the shtar makes them Eidei Hashtar, a different perspective on Eidei Mesira. We'll see later going forward that the Ran, and even earlier Tosus, but in a very famous comment, the Ran has the opposite perspective on Eidei Chasima. Eidei Chasima are signed in the shtar, it's like they're present at the Mesira. The exact opposite of the formulation of the Rashbam. In any case, this is how he explains it. Aval anu mi baylan, v'hotzi ksav yad bi'alma. But ksav yad doesn't have any eidim. Right? Sheshmo shelo b'chasim bo, shezem masal b'makom oda, shelo yuchal asa b'lich parvo. It's true, he can't deny, v'lo mafaraiti, kol zman shechasim asa b'yad amalda, shel nasa shtar b'loshon shel shtar, she'edim aksumim bo, v'achaz manach zika b'bezdit. Ukishilbo, Kimilva Alpen Havya. But a Ksabyat is like a Milva Alpen. The Summa Matzabezin Bikiyuma Maso Star. Jeez Bokhrais Nechasim. Bezin can verify it all day long. It's not going to turn it into a Star Sheesh Moedim because there are no Edim. Shahare, Loladatske Nichtav Mitchila. It was never initiated that way. That we'll get back to. That's a very important issue we're not going to get to right now. So what do we have so far? In Gittin, Ksavyad works. Minat Torah. In Shar Shtaros, it works for B'nei Chori. It doesn't work for Meshubadim. But we're not sure. It doesn't work for Meshubadim for technical reasons. It really is a kind of Shtar, but there's no call. That's how some Rishonim explain it. Or, based on the Gemara's Sapek, the Gemara said, oh, what if it's verified? But verifying it doesn't give it more kol. The Gemara thought that Ksav Yad has the means, potentially, to generate Shibudim. And then even the Gemara said, no, the Kiyum, the verification, is not going to do anything for you because it just means that you're not lying. It doesn't add dimension to the quality of the contract. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Maybe it's like Edim Asira? They won't give it up. In other words, the Gemara thought, now again, there's an aspect of this Havamina that has to do with downgrading the role of Edim and Edim Asira in the Shtar, but what they're trying to show is Ksav Yad is like Edim Asira. It's like a Shtar with Edim, albeit Edim Asira, not Edim Chazima. Then the Gemara's answer is, no. Edim Asira are different than Ksav Yad. We're not sure in the end, is the Gemara, so for the Rashbam, they're saying, you know what, Ksav Yad is Milva Alpen. Probably Rishonim might say, it's still like Milva Bishtar, it's just not Milva Sheesh La'edim. So this is a very, very important issue and an important question. For example, there are really two consequences of Shtar as opposed to Milva Alpeh. Take the case of Bava Basra. One consequence is Shibudin, which we just discussed. Right? Collecting from leaned property. The second consequence of Milva Bishtar as opposed to Milva Alpeh is the principle of Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy, which goes as follows. If I lend you money, right, and then I come to you, you know, a year later to collect, and you say to me, as long as it's after 30 days, and you say to me, I paid you last month, 6 months after the debt was due, whatever it is, not within the period of the outstanding loan, but after the due date, I paid you. And Milva Alpeh, we believe, all things being equal, if there's no other evidence, if you can't bring proof one way or another, my word against your word, what's the halacha? That's like kofrakol. Right? However, if there's a shtar, if I lend you money, and I have a shtar to prove it, and when I come back and I say to you, you still owe me the money, and I'm waving the shtar, and you say to me, paraiti, I already paid it back, what I say to you is, shtar chabiyadi, my boy. And how come I still have the contract? One of two things should have happened. We've discussed in the past. Either you should have demanded when you repaid me a shovar, a receipt, or you should have insisted that I rip up the evidence, the damaging outstanding evidence against you, but since you didn't, and I don't, you don't have a shovar, I don't have a shovar, sorry, you don't have a shovar, I still have the shtar, right? Shtar kabyani, my boy, therefore, pay me. That's the second consequence of the difference between Milva Bishtar and Milva Alpeh. Now, what's the story with Ksav Yad? I have a document that says, I hereby declare that I'm borrowing money from you, $100, I owe it to you, I'm going to pay you back by this and this and that time, and there are no witnesses, it's only Ksav Yad, and there's no question that it's Ksav Yad. Either we verified it or he doesn't deny it, but I have it. Right? And I say to him, pay me. And he says, I paid you 3 months ago. Can I wave the Ksav Yad and say, Shtar Chabiyadi, my boy? Or not? So this is a huge machlokas between the Rishon. It's a little bit complicated, but the Rashbam in Bava Basra in two places, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, we'll look at it in just a second, and on Daf Kuf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara that we just read, the Balamor on Kuf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph in Bava Basra, Tosus in Ksuvos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, the Tosus Rid in Bava Basra and Mem Amud Aleph, all of them say, Shtar Chabiyani my boy applies to Ksaviyad. And the guy says, well, if there was really a repayment, what am I doing with the Ksav Yad? Why didn't you have a shovar, or why didn't you rip up, have, make sure that the Ksav Yad was ripped up before the payment? That'll be a winning argument, according to that group of Rishon. And the Rif in Bava Basra, Kufayin Vav, and the Ramban in Muhammos, and in the Chidushin there, and the Rambam, the Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Mavavlova, disagree. They all say a Ksav Yad is not subject to Shtar Chaviyadi, my body. The question is what? Let me just show you first that it's so, and then we'll try to analyze it. And then we're going to come back to, you know what, I see my time is up, I'm going to have to hold off on that. We'll continue with this. Let me just finish with the following point. This is the debate. It's possible that this debate revolves around one or two different questions. One question it may revolve is exactly what we're discussing. If Ksav Yad is a form of a Shtar, then why not say Shtar Chaviyadi, my body? It's like Milva B'Shtar. I, there's no Shibudim, call, fine. But as far as Shtar Chaviyadi, my boy, that shouldn't depend on call. That doesn't affect a third party. Call is when a third party is affected. Lekuchos, buyer beware. There's no buyer beware here. It's just between the two of them. It's a question of credibility here. Do we, objective observers, the Besdin, we believe him, we believe him. Which is a more credible tale? Which is Shtar Chaviyadi, my boy, a proof? So it could be that that's exactly the debate. Or it could be that the debate is about Shtar Chaviyadi my boy and the various factors. So I'll get back to that next week. But just to highlight it, so what emerges from the whole discussion will be, is Ksav Yad Alpeh or is Ksav Yad Bishtar? So let me just highlight it, getting back to Gittin for a moment. We started with three areas where this is important. One's Gittin, the other is Shtar Staros, which we're talking a little bit about now. And the third one I should mention, but we'll discuss it next week, is Kiddushin. We already alluded to it. Can you use a Ksav Yad Minatora as a Shtar Kiddushin, after we learned Shtar Kiddushin from Gerushin, the Yatzav Aisa, can you use it or not? That's a debate. There's no evidence directly in the Mishnah and the Gemara about this, but there's a debate in the Rishonim. But what is the relationship between the status of the Ksav Yad in Dinei Mamonos and the status in Gittin? So look at Rashi and Yevamos for a minute. And this will conclude today, and then we'll finish this whole thing off next week. The Mishnah in Yevamos, Lamed Amud Beis, also talks about the same issue. This is on page 1. The third entry, Talmud Bavli Yevamos Lamed Amud Beis. Kulan Chiyu, Shahoyu Behen, Kedushin Ogerishin, Safik Arelu Tzaros, Cholzos Lomis Yavmos, Ketzot Safik Kedushin Zark, Kedushin Safik Karavla, Safik Karavla, Zeh Safik Kedushin. What is Safek Gerushin? Kasa Biksav Yado, Eno Levedim, Yesha Levedim, Bein Bozman, Yesh Bozman, Ein Bo Ed Echad. Exactly again, the same Mishnah, Pevav, Amud Aleph, and Gittin Ar Gemara. Fine. So that's the Mishnah. On that Mishnah, Rashi says the following. Kasa Biksav Yado, everybody have it? The Kaimalon, and what does he quote? The Mishnah in Bava Basra, Alma, says Rashi, Ksav Yado below Eden Milsahi. What's Rashi talking about in the Mishnah? A get. Rashi says, you know why Ksav Yad is a good get in the Torah? Because we see that you're Govim Nechasim B'nei Chorin in Bava Basra. So that means it's real, it's Milsahi. I would have read the Mishnah and said, what's impressive about the Mishnah? That you're Govim Nechasim B'nei Chorin, or that you're not Govim Nechasim B'nei Chorin? So that's exactly what the Ritzvah says, but this will conclude for today. The Ritzvah says, the next piece, he says, go skip down to the second line. No. You know what? Skip down to the third line. Oh, okay. Three lines from the bottom. Avaleka. Avaleka lach shure mitama de kasav zal, referring to Rashi, the kan that's not hotel of Sagadi Shukhaib Govin Makasa bin Echor. You can't say that the reason that Ksav Yad is a good get is because it's a good shtar l'inyan gviya menachasim b'nei chorin. T'hasam raya bilchud b'inan. To collect liquid or unencumbered real estate assets, do we need a kinyan for that? All we need is a raya. Ba'ika. No one's going to deny that a ksavyat is a good raya. The question is whether it's a good shtar to be a kinyan. Abagabe get, krisis beinan. In get, it's not the proof of what happened, it is the kinyan. Just because it works to be govim and a chasim and a chorin, it works, apparently according to Rashi, the reason that you're govim and a chasim and a chorin is not because of raya bialma, but because it's a form of shtar. So that's what I want to finish with next week. The different views on the status of Tzav Yadav, and then we'll get back to the implications for Gittin and Kedushin.